I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's the Wine Crush. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Oh, you're a nut.
And Michael Ambrose.
You're a genius.
And welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you have tuned in to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, and wine in all its history, all its future, and everything that the glass can offer.
Wow.
On today's show, we are going to honor our founding fathers. We are going to honor the great holiday, because we are very fortunate we are coming up to the 4th of July. And so today, when we go over, we're going to talk about wines that pair well with what you're going to be doing for the 4th. We're going to figure out what we are doing for the 4th. And all in all, we are just going to look at some of the founding principles of wine.
There you go. And don't we have some great guests?
Richard Hake. He is the winery chef for Robert Mondavi. He is going to join us and educate our listeners and, of course, as always, educate me about the finer points of cooking and about the finer points of pairing wine and food. We are also going to move forward. Not only are we going to talk about wine and food, we're going to talk about particulars of wine. Michael Keenan of Keenan Winery will be joining us. So we've got all kind of fun things coming up for you. So stay tuned. And of course, this show would be absolutely nothing without you, since this is the show about wine and what you do with it. So we encourage all of you, call us or email us. Call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at winecrush.com. All right, so we've got a jam-packed show today, so let's get to it. Let's keep a little bit of housekeeping out of the way. We have an interesting email from Jolene in Overland Park, Kansas. Jolene writes, Laura, there doesn't seem to be anything that you two don't know about wine. All righty, you haven't just asked the right questions yet. Can you and Michael tell me a little bit about your backgrounds and what got you interested in wine? A little bit is the operative term. Mr. Michael, what got you into wine?
I was a biology major in college, and I kind of liked the portion of the chemical aspect of wine, and then I started waiting tables in the most beautiful town in the country, Telluride, Colorado, and started working for a French chef. She taught me to appreciate wines, to match wines with foods. From there, I went to another restaurant. So the beginning of my love of wine was in the food and beverage area. Now, Laura, you've pretty much been with wines only, right?
I am a professional wino. Yes, I will admit that. Jolene, I think it's an interesting question. People who have known me for years always ask me, how did you wind up in the wine business? And honestly, I'm convinced I must have done something awful in a past life.
Really?
For those of you who want to be in the wine business, there is nobody who wakes up in the morning and says, why? I think I'll get into wine. I was a young child in Atlanta, Georgia. I was about 18 years old, and I went to work in a big wine store just to have something to do between college. Mm. And it was something that got its hooks into me, and I never really thought about wine as more than a hobby. And I was very fortunate and ran into the right people, and they got me into Gallo, and I worked for Gallo for about 7 months.
Really?
And they moved me to a different part of the country, and I have been in the wine wholesale business since then. So I have done a little bit of everything on the backside of wine.
Yeah.
I'm the one that actually gets the wines to the grocery stores, to the restaurants, to set pricing. So you have the light side and the dark side. I am definitely the background with the dark side in the business. And part of that is hand in hand with my obsessive compulsive personality. The longer I stayed in the wholesale business, the more I realized that people were asking me questions. I was teaching, I was educating, I was doing dinners. And that led me to believe, well, as long as I have finished all the degrees I want to finish, I might as well learn about wine.
That's cool.
So getting into that, I got into the Certified Wine Educators program, and I got into the Master Sommelier program.
Mm-hmm.
So I am truly educated beyond my intelligence when it comes to wine, And that is why I think it's best for me to be able to look at all of our listeners and just look at all of my friends and say, drink what you like, not what you're told, for the simple reason there's too much to tell anybody about wine.
Right.
And the more you try and tell people about wine, the more boring it gets. And I think that's why I have stayed in all these programs and try and stay in the wine business, to be the anti-wine person. Jolene, in a roundabout way, that is our background. In both of our respective fields, we are considered wine experts. We certainly don't want to broadcast that title to anybody, because I truly believe there is no such thing as a wine expert. The only expert on wine for our listeners, for you, for anyone, is the person who is sitting there with the glass and decides on their own that they like it. What makes you an expert? You're expert at what you like.
Right.
And if you would like to read more about Michael and me, you can go to our website, which is winecrush.com. And on that lovely interactive website, you can find our bios, you can find our background, and you can find our blogs, where we share opinions that our producers will never let us get through the edit machine. So please do see the winecrush.com while you're there. Send us an email, give us a phone call, and let us know what you think. We're California. Moving on, as most everyone knows, the majority of the wine produced in the United States comes from California and some of the great legendary wineries out there, such as Mondavi. And today we are pleased to welcome Richard Hake, who is the actual winery chef at Mondavi, and he's going to fill us in on a recent event in Napa Valley that was a veritable who's who of the wine world and, of course, of food. And Richard, we are pleased to welcome you and anyone who knows something about food to the Wine Crush.
Absolutely, Richard.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be on the Wine Crush Radio.
Well, cool. Y'all just had one amazing function out there, and I think it'd be a great way to introduce you to our listeners. Tell us what you just did. Who was drinking? Who was eating? Who was there?
Well, we just celebrated the passing of, and I guess a celebration is, Mr. Robert Mondavi passed away a couple weeks ago, and he wanted a New Orleans-style send-off, a real party, and he was known for throwing lavish affairs here at the Robert Mondavi Winery. And so, in accordance to his wishes, we organized a amazing party on the 18th, which is in celebration of his birthday as well as his passing, and we had some of the top vintners of Napa Valley and top chefs of Napa Valley come, and 1,500 of his closest friends.
Wow, really?
Beautiful afternoon here at the winery when they hosted the event. The chefs put out this wonderful display of food. We had chefs like Michael Chiarello, and Michael Chiarello, people know him from Napa Style and Food Network. Hiro Sone, who owns a wonderful restaurant, Terra, and various sundry chefs from the Valley, and great food was put out, and a lot of our delicious wines were poured, and New Orleans jazz music played in the background. Wonderful, wonderful evening.
Wasn't there a fundraising element to that as well?
The Mondavis always wanted to give back to the community, and wine, food, and art are part of the Robert Mondavi philosophy, so there's a portion of the proceeds that go to certain charities the Mondavi's been fond of here in Napa Valley. And one is art programs here in the Valley, and then charitable programs that help benefit the Napa Valley Hospital and some community organizations. And that stems from the Napa Valley Wine Auction, with the Mondavi's helped create 18 years ago to give back to the community.
Yeah.
We are going to have to move on for a bit, but Richard's going to stay with us for a bit later in the show, and he will give you a scrumptious recipe that's perfect for the summer, something that you personally can make. And of course, by saying you personally, I mean definitely you, not me. And then Michael and I will make a wine recommendation that will complement it perfectly. So Richard, if you don't mind hanging out for a small bit, we'll be back to you in a moment.
Not a problem. Looking forward to it.
Right.
We do appreciate all your phone calls and all your emails, but when we are wrong, we will admit we were wrong. The good news is we have people in Northern California who are paying attention, and we owe you a sincere apology. For those of you who live and enjoy the town of Gurnville, California, we do apologize for calling you Gurneyville, and certainly we will keep ourselves chastised and know that you are Gurnville from here into the future.
He's looking at you, kid.
Check out the new Wine Crush website to see what Laura and Michael look like, and for lots of cool information about wine. Our website is winecrush.com. We'll return with more of the Wine Crush in a moment.
Tell me something good. Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt Tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires' technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper Tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
Right, see the open man. Good pass.
That's listen good. Carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back. Right.
What do you hear?
Good beat.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay, okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well, have two bananas. And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are talking about the upcoming 4th of July celebration, where fireworks are status quo and barbecue is the moment. But Michael, when we're talking about the 4th of July, what comes to mind?
I've mentioned this before, but the most beautiful place in the country is Telluride, Colorado. It's a box canyon. There's 14,000-foot peaks around you. There's only 200 acres, buildable acres at the bottom at this 9,000-foot level, and they go up the mountain and shoot fireworks down at you. It's a really cool place.
I can see where it'd be cool, and I'm liking the place more and more, the concept of them shooting the fireworks at you.
Yes.
I imagine when you're talking about fireworks, it's not the one you're watching, but actually the ones that Donna is giving you when you've screwed up again.
That's usually it. Now, how about you?
Generally, that is one of the few actual holidays I get to take time off. And it makes me think of one of my favorite quotes on the planet, because the 4th of July is what it is. He who comes forth with a fifth on the 4th most likely will not come forth on the 5th. That's the overriding principle.
A very sage comment. Now, who said that?
As far as I know, it's anonymous.
Oh, okay.
And joining us now to take a break of you having to listen to just Ambrose and I, we have Michael Keenan from Robert Keenan Winery joining us. Michael, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, thank you very much.
We are delighted. It's always fun to get people who do esoteric great wine such as you. And tell us a little bit about Keenan Winery. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Robert Keenan and how you came about.
Well, we came about 34 years ago when my dad was looking for a piece of property to build a winery. He'd been introduced to wine drinking by my mother, his new wife at the time, and just loved wine and loved the history of it, and actually had majored in European history at Stanford, and was fascinated with this Bordeaux system of classifications and how there were only five chateaus known as the best, and they had these reputations that were known around the world and for really generations. And so he went to look for a piece of property. Without any real training in viticulture enology, he just instinctively knew he wanted to be up in the mountains. So he looked just at Spring Mountain and Howl Mountain, ended up picking Spring Mountain because he thought it was the better location because we're on the western side of the valley, so we get more rainfall, which he thought was really key. We primarily face east, which he thought was a little bit better. And then we had all the mountain aspects that both areas had, you know, rocky soils, so great drainage, but also the right amount of stress that he thought would be necessary to make, you know, great Bordeaux quality wines. And he sort of passed the baton to me about 10 years ago. We've discovered that watering is actually one of the keys that we've been using to promote vine health, which is the thing I really focus on. You know, sustainable farming, vine health. With healthier vines, we get healthier fruit, and with healthier fruit, we get a more dynamic wine. We've always made wines with great structure and really dark color and wines that age for a long time, but now we're finally bringing texture and expression and real vitality to the table when the wines are young. So they're delicious when they're young, and they still have, you know, a lot of tannin and a lot of acidity, so they'll age as well. So we're beginning to perfect our art after 30 years, which is pretty exciting.
Robert Keenan Winery, you're looking at Chardonnay, you're looking at Cabernet, and you're looking at Merlot. And those are kind of the benchmarks of what you find on Spring Mountain. Tell us about the wines. Describe them.
Sure. Well, the Chardonnay is, it's really, to me, and a lot of the wines are, they're really a bridge between the wines of the old world, wines that have great structure, great acidity, you know, a sense of terroir, married with the best parts of wines from California, which is delicious fruit. And the Chardonnay really, I think, nails that. We do what's called a non-malolactic Chardonnay. So it doesn't go through that secondary fermentation that produces the real buttery qualities you see in a lot of California Chardonnay. So it's got more purity to it, more real natural fruit, great acidity, really lights up the palate.
What's your favorite thing to eat with your Chardonnay?
Almost anything, because it's such a terrific food wine. But I mean, any fish dishes, and actually I love it with sushi, because there's something about
that's good.
You know, the pickled ginger that really brings the fruit out in the wine. Actually, I was at a sushi restaurant in Oklahoma City last week that called Sushi Nico, which is actually one of my favorite restaurants, because I did a tasting there with their staff where I arrived and we were in the special room behind the restaurant, so it was all quiet, like a conference room, and they had prepared a special little dish with each of the four wines they had on the list. And I couldn't believe the creativity and the food pairing, especially with my red wines, because you don't normally think of red wines going with sushi.
No,
you
right.
It was a no-brainer, but I make a reserve wine called Marinade, which is a pretty big red wine that's half Merlot, half Cabernet. And they did a raw fish thing with a little chili in there. It had some spice to it, had some soy sauce, had some salt to it, had a little avocado on top for texture. And it was, I couldn't believe the pairing of this raw piece of fish with this big red wine was unbelievable.
Wow.
Well, that does work well. take a quick break here. I am Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are speaking with Michael Keenan of Robert Keenan Vineyards and talking about his wines and how they are paired and something rare, a pairing with sushi. That's definitely not something Michael and I joke around back and forth when you're talking about pairing with sushi about having a lighter white, but this is the first time I've heard about having red wines with it, so more power to you on that. Michael, can you stay with us while we pursue some other Wine Crush endeavors?
Sure.
All right, we'll be back to you.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Emma from New Jersey writes, "You said something on a recent show about horizontal tasting. I'm sorry I missed part of what you said. Might I ask you to talk about that again? Thanks, Emma." You rarely have to ask us to talk about something twice. We're very, very good at beating a horse to death. A horizontal tasting. What happens when you talk about vertical and horizontal tastings? A vertical tasting is tasting different vintages of the same wine. You could have a 1999 BV, 1998 BV Latour, 1997, 1996. Basically, you're tasting the different vintages and seeing how they compare to each other. That is a vertical tasting. A horizontal tasting, generally you find these with people who produce a lot of one varietal. And this can go one way or the other. A horizontal tasting with someone like Ridge or someone like Ravenswood would be to sit all of their Zinfandels in front of you and to taste all the different Zinfandels they have from the same vintage. Also, if you look at it, if you're talking about our friends across the pond, most of the champagnes you find, say you take Tattinger, it doesn't have a vintage date on it. That's because it's a horizontal blend, meaning they take a whole bunch of wine from different barrels and from different lots throughout the Champagne region, and they blend it all together. So that's why you find horizontal, which is generally the same varietal, and you find vertical, which are different years.
Right. It's very common to find horizontal tastings comparing like Bordeaux's. Where you taste, we're going to taste 2,000 Bordeaux across the line. So you taste Chateau Margaux, Chateau Latour, and a group of similar type wines of the same year.
We do appreciate all your phone calls and all your emails, but when we are wrong, we will admit we were wrong. The good news is we have people in Northern California who are paying attention, and we owe you a sincere apology. For those of you who live and enjoy the town of Gurnville, California, we do apologize for calling you Gurneyville, and certainly we will keep ourselves chastised and know that you are Gurnville from here into the future. And at that moment, we are going to take a break to lick our wounds and eat our crow, and we'll be back with you in a moment.
And now Jimmy Johnson's working on the Watson's garage door. He's got the old motor off. He's got the new motor on. The door's up. The door's down. He's gone. What do you got, Brett?
I got a stall truck here on Maple. Jimmy's got the hood up. His hands are a blur. I tell you, Doug, I haven't seen ratcheting like that in years. Now back to you.
He just finished building a new doghouse for an extremely appreciative Cocker Spaniel. Now he's wiping the slobber off. Wait, he sees a broken gate over to the
school. Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college.
Wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. KnowHowToGo.org, let's ride.
That was Fonsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit KnowHowToGo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Another drink, plenty in the cellar when it's gone. Drink, drink, the glasses clink.
And welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are having fun talking about our founding fathers and the 4th of July on this show. We've got a few days to get ready for everything we're going to do for the holiday. That means plan your picnics, plan your barbecues, get your fireworks together, of course, only in those states where it's legal.
Of course.
And to make sure that you're surrounded by your favorite friends to celebrate the founding fathers. But Michael, when you look ahead to founding fathers, you always think about George Washington, you always think about Patrick Henry, you always think about John Hancock. But when do we ever really think about the founding fathers of American wine?
Not very often, Laura.
I have come up with my list of the 5 founding fathers of the modern wine industry and would love to share them with you.
Well, that's good because I've come up with a list and I'm going to be interested to know if we've got the same names.
All right. So, top people for founding fathers in the American wine business. Number one has to go to Gallo.
I have got him on my list.
Either one of the brothers, they definitely fall in. They made a difference. Number two, it has to be Robert Mondavi. He is the man who brought food and wine together into the forefront.
Yeah, and I totally concur.
Number three, strangely enough for me, is going to be Marvin Schenken. As our listeners may know, Marvin Schenken is the publisher of The Wine Spectator, and that was the first magazine to bring wine mainstream, to bring a rating system to the United States, and to define what we consider to collectible items here.
My number three was Andrei Chelyachev, who was the winemaker at BV, and he really set the standard for quality wine, I think, going forward and from the 60s.
No, I don't disagree. Actually, I think Chelyachev defined what it is to be an American Cabernet.
Right.
You look at what he did at BV with the wines of Oakville, the wine of Rutherford. And so when people talk about exceptional California cabs, the man set the benchmark unconditionally.
Right.
Number four is going to bring a lot of howls and screams, but I got to throw Jess Jackson of Kendall Jackson Winery into that list. Kendall Jackson and Jess Jackson moved to make Chardonnay an everyday item, and Kendall Jackson Chardonnay is still the number one selling wine, American wine, right now.
Yeah, he's one of the great, great guys. You know, my number four position, however, goes to Charlie Wagner. He was the founder of Camus, And I remember the Wine Spectator back in the mid-'80s saying the best damn California cab ever made was Charlie Wagner's. And I think with some good reason.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Charlie Wagner and what he's doing with Camus and what his family and his sons are doing with MLO are amazing. But I'm going to have to point out, you did not put Marvin Schenken in your top five.
I didn't.
And yet you used him as a reference point to actually include Charlie Wagner.
No, no doubt.
Point for Lawson. Number five for me is Fred Franzia. He is the man that's behind the Bronco Wine Company. He is the man behind Two Buck Chuck, and I think he's the one that has brought inexpensive, decent wine to the forefront of what people are drinking today.
I put a person on this list that you probably will not agree with me, but he's a great guy. His name is Jim Bunshue. He and his family have had a winery for the last 150 years. I think it's the second oldest winery in the United States.
So we all have our founding fathers. We all have our opinions on who made the wine business great. But we want to hear from you. We want to know what you think of our list. Who do we leave off? Who shouldn't have been there?
Right.
And why? So email us at info@winecrush.com or call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. For those of you who adamantly don't agree with Michael and I, please know, as our producer reminds us, those great little four-letter words will not make the air. We are going to welcome our guest, Richard Hake, back because I believe Richard is going to talk about the perfect complement to any 4th of July, and that is definitely going to be a barbecue. To our listeners, Richard Hake, he is the winery chef for Robert Mondavi. Richard, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
So, Richard, what is the baseline for a great barbecue sauce?
Well, mine's a cherry cola barbecue sauce. So
cherry cola.
I use cherry coke, and you have to reduce the cherry coke down over a generous portion of chopped onions and garlic. And you reduce that down, and it makes nice cherry syrup. And then adding the ketchup, and I put a little chipotle pepper in there for some heat, and some chili powder. It builds a wonderful sauce that balances with the sweetness of the cherry cola, and I finish it off with a little cider vinegar, and that brings some nice acidity. And I think that balance between sweet and sour works well with pork, and as well as when I did the original recipe with the salmon, the oiliness or richness of the salmon or richness of the pork, that balance of sweet and sour works well with the meat, and that bridges back to many different wines.
For those of you who want to create this masterpiece on your own, you can find the actual recipe at winecrush.com, our website. We'll be posting most of Richard's great recipes.
Yeah.
Michael, what would you pair with this?
Well, I think a Pinot Noir would be exactly what I would pair with it. How about you?
I'd probably do a California Syrah,
okay.
Just something that had that over-the-top black cherry with it.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, what do you usually pair with your barbecue when you're doing pork?
Out here, we think that the Zinfandels are true American wine, and barbecue being culturally truly American, I like to use a Zinfandel.
Okay. Well, that's three different choices.
Three different answers. You pick which one is right.
Right.
We definitely have covered the red gamut all the way through this. Well, Richard, it's nice to have you on the show. We're hoping that we can occasionally drag you back into the Wine Crush and let you come and educate me, of course, about a little bit of cooking, but of course, educate our listeners with some great simple wine-geared recipes that they can make on their own.
Right.
Well, I just hope I don't make you too hungry with all these wonderful recipes and talk about food.
I figure if I can get by Michael and all his wine recommendations and not get thirsty, I should be good at least for a little bit without the food part. Well, Richard, thank you very much for being part of the Crush, and we will look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you bet. It's been a pleasure.
And for those of you who want to try this wonderful recipe on your own, the full recipe is available on our website, and that would be at winecrush.com. And we encourage all of you out there to find your own cherry base for this, where it's cheer wine, cherry Coke, cherry Pepsi, or whatever pleases your fancy. And email us and let us know how it turned out. And email us and let us know what you paired with it. And you can get that email at info@winecrush.com.
Laura, let's get back to the calls and emails.
We have Dan from LaGrange, Illinois. Dan wants to know, can you tell me what port is?
Yeah, it's sweet red wine with high alcohol content. And the reason it was made that way in the beginning is because they put extra alcohol in the wine more so than what is normally comes through fermentation. so that originally it would make the long trip from Portugal back to England without going bad in the bottom of the ship.
Port is one of the most dynamic after-dinner drinks you can ask for. Great with cigars, great with nuts, great with blue cheese. Very much a concentrated wine. So that's why you see special glasses coming out at restaurants. We need to take a small break, but before we do, we have to do our weekly wine teaser. The question, have you ever heard the expression, put your John Hancock on it? Of course you have. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and our question is, did John Hancock's signature ever appear on a wine? The answer, when we return.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The opinions, intelligence, and all-around soundness of mind of the hosts of The Wine Crush vary with how much alcohol, sleep, and stress they have experienced at the time of recording. If you find errors, think that you find errors, or just want to take issue with something, call us at 1-877-4-CRUSH-1. We may return your call or air the correction depending on how moody the hosts are at that given moment. And remember, just because they claim to know everything does not mean they actually do or would admit fault anyway. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. You want wine opinions? You've definitely come to the right place. Now, opinions are just what they're worth, whatever I think they are. So, when we left, we had left you with our wine teaser question for the week. You've heard the expression, put your John Hancock on it. Of course you have. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. The question was, has or did John Hancock's signature ever appear on a bottle of wine? Michael?
The answer is, in fact, yes. Trinity Hill Winery, back at the turn of the millennium, put John Hancock's signature on its line of wines. Trinity Hill is made in New Zealand And there's a guy named John Hancock, who's the winemaker and CEO of Trinity Hill.
Well, that actually brings an interesting question then. Is it our John Hancock or is it New Zealand's John Hancock?
That's a very good question.
We ask our listeners, help us define. Our poor little research staff of a turkey, two hamsters, and a rat obviously have let us down on this one. So why don't you do some homework for us for a change? Email us with your answers at info@winecrush.com or call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 and we'll take a moment to go get rid of that rat. And here at the Wine Crush, we are rejoined by Michael Keenan. He is the current proprietor and the winemaker for Robert Keenan Winery. Welcome back to the Wine Crush. Are you still with us?
I'm still here, yeah.
Tell us about your wines and what you're doing and where our listeners can find them.
Sure. Well, we're not that big a winery, so we tend to spread it out over a lot of the country, so they're relatively hard to find. But the best place to find them is our website, you know, which is keenanwinery.com.
And for our listeners, that is K-E-E-N-A-N, winery, which we'll even let Michael take a pass on, .com. So
right.
Keenan, okay?
That's correct.
You're really famous for your reds.
Yeah, we're. I'm sure over the course of the history of the wine, we've been more famous for the reds, and in particular, the Merlots. We did a series of tastings with Chateau Petrus back in 1989, where we tasted three vintages against their three vintages, and did it once in New York, once in L.A., once at the winery. And I think the eventual thing was considered a tie, because I think they edged us in New York, we tied them in L.A., then we edged them at the winery. So that was we considered it a huge success for us because we, you know, went toe-to-toe with the great and very expensive Chateau Petrus and pretty much, you know, showed that we were an equal, which was, of course,
phenomenal.
A great success for us, yeah.
You were talking about the very expensive Petrus.
Uh-huh.
I believe the 05 vintage is costing $5,000 a bottle. Is that right?
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
Yeah. Is your wine that expensive?
No.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to ask.
No, our mailbox Merlot is our top Merlot that retails for around $60, and we make a Napa Merlot, which is, I always joke that it's inappropriately named because it's 70% estate fruit and roughly 30% Merlot from the Carneros District. And to put Spring Mountain on a label, it's got to be 85% from the Appalachian.
Right.
To put Napa on there, but it 70%, it's definitely has the qualities of a mountain wine. It's very dark and very structured, and that's the wine that most people see because we make about 3,000 cases of that a year, and people think of that as a very big Merlot, which it is, but then when you see the mailbox next to it, you realize there's even a step up from that.
We like to be the wine show for every man, to make wine part of a lifestyle, and you definitely seem to have a good handle on the lack of elitism when it comes to wine. If there was something you wanted to leave our listeners with as far as wine, as far as adding wine to their culture, what would it be?
Well, obviously, just go out and drink it. But I think second to that, don't be afraid to ask people about wine. Like if you go to a restaurant, a lot of people will feel intimidated. You know, they don't really want to ask the sommelier any questions because they're so afraid of looking like they don't know something, which it doesn't really matter at all. I mean, every sommelier is dying, or any restaurant guy is dying for you to ask about
right.
his wine program because they've spent so much time. And the same thing goes for retail shops. These guys spend a lot of time carefully selecting their the wines they want to sell to you, and they're just dying to tell you about it. So, you know, get out there, ask questions, and then people are always willing to show their wine. So you can always go to tastings, and don't be afraid to ask, and get out there and just taste and drink and enjoy.
Very sage advice. Yes,
that's certainly what we advocate. Well, Michael, thank you very, very much for being part of the Crush. You definitely are one of our visitors that we would love to have back again, especially since you and I seem to agree on so many points. But sure. We do encourage all of our listeners, please check out the website, and that was Keenan, K-E-E-N-A-N, winery.com. And Michael, thank you very much for being part of the Crush, and we do appreciate your opinions, and we are certainly looking forward to drinking more of your wines.
Absolutely.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
Let's get back to your calls and emails. You can email us at info@winecrush.com or give us a call at 877-4-CRUSH-1.
Michael, I got a question that's right up your alley, and this comes from Jackie in Greenville, South Carolina.
Go, Jackie.
I've seen on several different bottles of wine that they have the taste of leather. If the wine is stored in barrels, how can it acquire that taste? Michael, you are the leather expert.
You know, I honestly, I don't know. Leather, tobacco, Those types of flavors typically develop as wine gets older. I'm a biology major, and to give you the definition, I don't even know that.
Jackie, we've had a couple questions here on the Wine Crush about how does a wine taste like strawberries, how does a wine taste like cherries when it's actually grapes that are being used. There, regardless of how you look at things, chemical changes happen when you ferment a grape. And it is within our limited vocabulary to try and explain what we're tasting. And I think that regardless of whether you pick up a glass of wine, you put your nose in it, and you smell strawberries, you smell kiwi, you smell pineapple, there are those chances where you get this smell, and it smells like tanned leather, like new leather belts or new leather shoes. It took me a long time to realize that seeing the phrase leather or seeing the phrase creosote or seeing the phrase sulfur on the back of a bottle wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just the best word we can come up with to explain the smell that's in the glass. So there is actually no leather contact with the wine. It is just one of those smells that you smell and you try and identify, and that's the closest we can come to saying, hey, this is what this smells and tastes like. But Jackie, that was not a silly question. And like I said, if you really want to entertain yourself, go down into Syrah aisles, go down into Zinfandel aisles and read the back of some of those bottles. Leather is child's play compared to something that you'll actually come across. When we return, we'll be wrapping our show up, talking a little bit about our guest and ruminating on what we'll do for the 4th of July. So stay tuned.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide green ninjas around the track?
Green ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt Tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
My little girl who loves that wine.
welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have had a very fun show so far.
Laura, let's get back to the calls and emails. You can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com.
Yes, please call, please email. That means Michael and I have to talk less to each other. Trey from East Rutherford, New Jersey writes, what makes wine a dessert wine?
Typically, it's because there's sugar left in the wine. It's sweet. It's meant to go with desserts, actually. There's white dessert wines and red dessert wines. The white ones typically will go good with fruits like apples and almonds and crusty little things they've got some sweetness, crusty pastries. The red ones, on the other hand, are one of the great matches in the world is a port and Stilton cheese. And we talked about that earlier.
Trey, I think anything that you serve after dinner constitutes a dessert wine. I am not picky like Michael. I think what you're looking for is there are certain wines you'll see your categories in your Mega Mart saying dessert wine section. And generally, these are the little wines you find in the short bottles that are called 375 milliliters. And they can range anywhere from $6.50 a bottle all the way up to $650 a bottle. And like Michael said, they generally are sweeter wines, and they are served. Basically, you can look at them as an aperitif. You can look at them as a dessert. It just depends on what you're in the mood for. A good example, if you're willing to spend about $10, $15, BV does a dessert wine called Muscat de Beaulieu. And it's a really good entry level. It'll give you an idea of what a dessert wine does and how it pairs well with food. And we've been fortunate enough, we had Greg Allen, the winemaker for Dolce, on this show. And Dolce is made by Far Niente, and I think it wears the crown for California dessert wine.
Yeah, it also wears the crown for price. It's about $75, is it not?
It is, but That's the opposite extreme. It could be worse. I could be recommending him grab a bottle of DeKim.
Yeah. That would be like $700.
Yes, typical Michael. He wants to call anybody down. But if you're having a special occasion, this actually goes out for everyone as you're looking at great wedding gifts, as you're looking for unique boss gifts, as you're looking for neat stuff, whether it's for your father-in-law. A bottle of Dolce goes a long way to making people happy. And here's your Made for Martha tip this week. Dolce bottles, save them after you drink the wine in them and get the little liquor spouts and put them on top of the bottle. And they're great on your kitchen sink filled up with soap.
Or olive oil. You know, they're beautiful. They're hand-painted. I think they are right in there with Perrier Jouet hand-painted bottles.
Yeah, they're absolutely beautiful. So if you're not a drinker, find someone who is and ask them to go buy you a bottle of Dolce. They can drink the wine, you can have the bottle, and you have your craft lesson and your wine lesson all in one. Just remember, Wine Crush, we are an equal opportunity insulter. As we dash out the studio to enjoy and prepare for our 4th of July, we remind our listeners, sip socially, drink responsibly, and as always, drink what you like, not what you're told. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And in vino veritas and wine, there is truth.